It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary, the spookiest word podcast in the world. No, it's not spooky at all. I don't know. I guess it could be spooky to some people. It's not spooky to me. It's silly to me. Who's me? I'm Spencer. I am your host of this wonderful show. This is episode F147. There was a storm this morning, a rare morning storm. With thunder and lightning and everything. And so I luckily did not get caught in the rain when I came to the office this morning. It all blowed over by then. But I love a storm. I love a storm. All right, let's not talk about storms. Let's talk about the fifth form of the word flush. This is an adjective from circa 1568. All right, eyes focus, baby. 1A is of a ruddy, healthy color. I think that's the third time we've seen the word ruddy since the Johnny Lang episode. I don't know, what was that, 20, 30 episodes ago or something? Ruddy has come up. So yeah, I think it's sort of like a red, healthy color is flush. So if you are describing somebody as flush, maybe that means that they have blushed recently, or they just have that good color. You know, they're not pale or green or yellow. Those are not colors that you really want to be. No, you want to be flush with blood. 1B is full of life and vigor. And the synonym is lusty. Lusty could take us in a direction of, you know, the sexy stuff, to put it very bluntly and succinctly. Looking for love, maybe flush, because you're full of life and vigor. But I also, when I read the definition and not the synonym of lusty, I think of this just as so full of life and vigor. That's the definition. So somebody who's just loving life, who's living life, who's very excited, who's talking to people, who's, you know, doing stuff, blah blah blah. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with being lusty, unless there's some other definition of lusty that I'm not aware of. Of course, I think of lust when I think of lusty, but full of life and vigor. I try to be flush whenever I can. Sometimes you're just like, meh, I just wanna curl up in bed, listen to the storm, and not do anything. I did not want to get out of bed this morning. This was even before the storm. I was so tired. I just want to go back to bed. 2A, filled to overflowing. Filled to overflowing. There was a number of words that we had before, you know, in like the flow, flood, that whole region of words. It was a similar idea of overflowing. And so this one, flush, is filled to overflowing. You are, because, you know, it's all about the idea of like this thing sort of rushing in and so much of it. And so what could you be filled? Well, you know, a glass of water, of course, could be flush with water. But maybe you are metaphorically flush with cheese. Now, that wouldn't be metaphorical. I don't mind being flush with cheese. What else? You could be flush with love. Just love for everything. You are overflowing with love. It always comes back to love. 2B, the synonym is affluent. You know, I think of this as being, you know, wealthy, well off. You got plenty of stuff. You got plenty of stuff. So maybe you are filled to overflowing with stuff. You got too much stuff. You got more than enough. Maybe you could give some of that stuff away. Maybe you could give some of that money away. You are flush with money. That's definitely a phrase I've heard. 3, readily available, and the synonym is abundant. What is readily available? Abundant clothes. Some people have closets that are flush with clothes because there's so many clothes just available to them at any moment. Shoes. 4A. Having or forming a continuous plane or unbroken surface, as in flush paneling. A continuous plane or unbroken. This is when things are up against each other and there's no break. There's, you know, like you want your wood floors to be flush in terms of level, but also flush in terms of everything. There's no cracks and the pieces are, you know, not staggered. There's nothing that's like above another piece. You want it to be flat and flush. Number 4B, directly abutting or immediately adjacent. So like just next to, right? Immediately next to, that's the idea. But we got sub-definitions even more as 4B1, set even with an edge of a type page or column, and then also having no indentation. So we're talking about text here. Now, the text here on this page is very flush. The entries, the words, so like if looking at the previous episode, going backwards, we had flush, 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 flurry, flurry. So those words are a little bit to the left of all the rest of the words, but pretty much everything else is flush on the left and also flush on the right. They have made it, they've stretched out the spacing of the words so that everything is perfectly flush on the left and the right. We also call that justified, left justified, right justified. In this case, it's both sides. So set even with an edge of a type page or column having no indentation, other than the entries, everything else is flush. 4B2, arranged edge to edge so as to fit snugly. It fits so snugly because it's edge to edge. Flushness is a noun. All right, no more etymology for that. Oh my God, we have more forms of the word flush. Can you believe it? All right, I got to make a sound effect. I got to go. Now we have the sixth form of flush. Adverb from 1700. Number 1, in a flush manner. I really had no idea that we were going to have so many definitions and forms of flush. Flush forms. Number 2, the synonym is squarely. As in the example, hit him flush on the chin. He didn't miss the chin. He got his fist right there on the chin, square on it, flush on it. He did it. He did it right when he punched him in the chin. I have never punched anybody, and I don't plan to punch anybody. But if I did, I probably would not hit them flush where I mean to. I would probably miss. Now we have the seventh form of flush. This is the last form of this specific word. It is a transitive verb from circa 1842. To make flush, as in flush the headings on a page. Go make them flush. Make all of the headings flush. Make them even with each other. They're looking all crooked and crazy, and we can't have that. No, we got that. We gotta have them flush. All right. Now we have flushable. Adjective from 1973, suitable for disposal by flushing down a toilet. There are many things that are not flushable. Some things are flushable. But how many times have you been to a public bathroom and there's a sign that says, please do not flush paper towels or feminine products, whatever term that you want to use for that, and other things. Do not flush them. They are not flushable. You know, it might go down. It might be fine, but they are not meant to go down there. And the pipes of different buildings are different. Some are smaller and maybe have more bends and are old and they can't handle that. So maybe there's not enough pressure in the system. So just flush down the things that are flushable. It's your own human waste, and it's the toilet paper, and, you know, there's some other products out there, you know, maybe some sort of, like, hand wipes or body wipes or something that are flushable, but don't be flushing down stuff that ain't flushable. Okay, thank you very much. Especially those restaurants have, like, old pipes in Europe. Wow, they got a whole other sort of the plumbing system over there. So really, especially in Europe, you can't be flushing down that extra stuff. Now we have the word fluster, first form, verb from 1604, and we are starting with transitive. Number one, to make tipsy. To make tipsy, fluster. So is this literally like tipping something over? You're making it tippable, tipsy, or is this dealing with alcohol? And maybe you're the bartender and you are giving people drinks. Here, here, have a drink, this little drink. It shall make you tipsy. And so I am flustering you? Okay, number two, to put into a state of agitated confusion. The synonym is upset. I am constantly in a fluster. I'm constantly in a state of agitated confusion. That's my ghostwriter name. Agitated confusion. I don't know what that means. No, that's a weird one. Yes. I'm in a fluster. Sometimes I get into a fluster. Sometimes I don't know what's going on. There's too much stuff coming at me. And I'm flustered. I get flustered. I guess that would be an adjective, which is not here. There's no separate adjective definition, but that's okay. We're going to move on to intransitive. To move or behave in an agitated or confused manner. Just walking around. Whoa, I'm in a fluster. I'm flustered because I'm so confused about the world. If I was a caveman, a Neanderthal who just woke up from a thousands of year sleep, I would be very flustered. Me fluster. A synonym is the word discompose. Discompose. I was composed. I had composure, but now I'm discomposed. I am not composed at all. All my pieces are all over the place. Flusteredly is an adverb. And is there any etymology? Of course there is. Why not, of course? Yes, there is. There just happens to be. It is probably of Scandinavian origin, akin to the Icelandic word flaustur. They would probably say it all cool and pretty, like flaustur. That means hurry. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And so maybe, yeah, it's just like a lot of stuff happening, right? Yeah, when you get all agitated and yeah, like I said, people coming at you or so many things happening at once, you get flustered. I do, definitely. Now we have the second form of fluster. It's a noun from 1712. A state of agitated confusion. I'm in a fluster. I don't understand anything. Now we have the word flute. This is the first form of flute. It is spelled F-L-U-T-E. It is a noun from the 14th century. Number 1A, the synonym, is the number 3 definition for the word recorder. Possibly the thing that you played when you were just maybe 6 years old in music class in school, if you went to a school and had a music class, because not everybody does. And they're just little recorders. Number 1B is... Ooh, this is the long definition. It is a keyed woodwind instrument consisting of a cylindrical tube which is stopped at one end and which has a side hole over which air is blown to produce the tone and having a range from middle C upward for 3 octaves. I don't know if I remembered that the end of the flute is stopped. A lot of musical instruments have an open hole at the end. The saxophone, the trumpet, the trombone, the clarinet, the list goes on. Can't forget about the tuba. But not the flute. Not the flute. And I think it has something to do with because you're blowing into that hole at the top sideways, I think that's where the sound comes out of. It must be. I mean, it comes out probably down the line through the keyholes and stuff, but the keyholes are adjusting the length of the tube, and it must go down and then come back up and come out that hole, I guess. I don't know if I ever really thought about that. There is a picture, a drawing of a person playing this flute. And there, you know, they're in their standard procedure. We're looking right at them. The flute is going off to their right, our left, and their left hand is closer to their mouth, and their right hand is down here. And if you're watching the video, I am matching the position. And here, I will, I wish I had a long, I, yeah, I will match their look. They're like this. That's what they look like. And of course, the hands are slightly off. They look like they're in a suit. It is a, looks like a man, if we want to genderize this situation, which we don't have to. They're in a suit and a tie, playing the flute. What can we say about the flute? Well, it was, you know, it's one of your standard instruments. Many people know about the flute. But what many people may not know about is that there are different sizes of flutes. Oh, yes. Let's look up. I mean, I know that there's at least a few, but we are going to look up sizes of flutes. And then when I learned about these different sizes of flutes, I was fascinated and so amazed. Let's see. Well, here we go. Are these all? No, this is a weird. Well, okay, I'm just going to read these. They're in with no particular order. Let's see. I'm looking. Well, yeah, here's a better list, probably. There's the concert flute, also called soprano flute. That's the most common and standard size flute. Okay, great. There's also the alto flute, which is larger. There is the bass flute. That's the lowest pitch flute in the flute family, but also there's the contrabass flute. This is the AI thing. It gets things not 100% correct. The contrabass flute is the lowest member of the standard flute arsenal, 2 octaves lower than the soprano C flute. And if you have not seen these, you gotta look them up. These things are massive. It goes across like a normal flute, but then it like angles up and then down, and the bore, the tube is huge, and these things are huge and low, and it's crazy that they exist. And I think you gotta play it on a stand or something. Go look at it. What is this? The flute d'amour. It is the flute of the 18th and 19th centuries, which are with a range a minor third lower than the modern flute. There's also the sub-contrabass flute. What? It measures over 15 feet long? That's 4.6 meters. There's the treble flute, a member of the flute family above the concert flute. What is this? The hyperbass flute? What? Now this is getting ridiculous. From C2 to C5, the lowest, largest and lowest. Well, now we need, but I had no idea that this was going to get so ridiculous. Oh my God, I love it. This is, let's look up this picture. Oh my gosh. A hyperbass flute? What is happening? This thing is insane. It goes across. I think somebody just made this out of PVC. There's somebody playing it. It goes across and then it goes up. And then it angles up even higher, and then it goes all the way down. Oh, does it go? And it goes even further, and then it goes forward, and then up again. This thing is, what is happening? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This one seems a little bit homemade, but hey, it exists. And then there's also, not on this list, but the different list, there's the piccolo, which I guess it could technically be a different kind of flute. Or different, technically a different instrument altogether, but, you know, it's in the family. Yes, it should be part of the official flute family. It is the highest pitched member of the flute family with a range an octave above that of the concert flute. And these things. I do remember when I was in band in high school, somebody had to play the piccolo and in some certain song. And it was not normal, but oh, that thing is way up there. Way up there. I think George Washington might have played the piccolo. That was a flute. You know, we could talk about the flute for a long time, but I just had to mention all those other members of the flute family. Way more than I even realized. All right, now we're going to go on to number 2 for flute. Something long and slender, as to a tall, slender wine glass. Ah, like a champagne flute, maybe. For some reason, the sparkling wines, you want to put them in these skinny, long, tall glasses. And you know, they used to put them in these like almost martini glasses, but now they've been putting them in these flutes. And why are they called flutes? Because they are long and slender, taller and skinnier than most of the other wine glasses. 2B, a grooved pleat as on a hat brim. Is that the groove part at the top that goes down the line of the head? Is that the flute? I did not know about that. 3, a rounded groove. Ooh, let's get into that rounded groove. Boom, but specifically, one of the vertical parallel grooves on a classical architectural column. It's a flute. All right, yeah, I've seen these grooves on those columns. They're just all around the whole thing, and they go from the bottom up to the top. And, you know, they're long and slender and skinny, and maybe you could even fit a flute right in there. Will my flute fit in the flute? Yes, it fits so perfectly in the groove on the column. Flute-like is an adjective. Fluty with a Y or an EY is an adjective, and that is flute. And we must now talk about the etymology. There were some previous words that we had that seemed to be related to flute, but what does this say? Let's see, from Anglo-French, flute, from Old French, flaut, probably of imitative origin. Imitative. This is the second time we've seen that. And what does that mean exactly? I guess I'll have to look that up eventually, hopefully before I get to the eyes. And is it imitative? Is the word imitative of the thing? Flute? I don't know. Now we have the second form of flute. This is the verb from the 14th century. 1, to play a flute. Look at that. Look at that man in that drawing. He's fluting because he's playing the flute. 2, to produce a flute-like sound. What would a flute-like sound be? I can't make the sound of a flute, I don't think. I don't know. I guess we should briefly talk about how you play this thing. As we said, there is a hole on the side of it, and instead of, different than many other instruments, you have to blow across the hole to make the proper sound. And it, you know, it takes a little adjusting, a little finessing. I have played a flute. I've made sound on a flute many, many years ago. And you know, unless you're doing it regularly, it's pretty hard to do. But it's the same idea as making a sound on an empty bottle. Or doesn't have to be empty, but a bottle, you know, it's got that sort of small hole. And then if you blow across it just right, you can get a tone. And then depending on the amount of liquid that's in the bottle, or whatever that's filling up the bottle, the pitch will be different. I had a big bottle once. I don't remember why or what it was exactly, just a large jar. And the hole was, you know, bigger than like a normal drinking bottle, but it was still small enough that I could blow across it and make a real deep sound. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. Okay, now transitive is 1, to flutter. Oh, no, it's not flutter. It's to utter. My brain added a FL in there somehow. To utter with a flute-like sound. What is that? 2, to form flutes in. So maybe this is the hat flute, the column flute, the glasses maybe, to form flutes in. I'm making wine glasses inside of this bucket. I don't know. Fluter. That is a noun. And I thought somewhere... Oh, yes, that's coming up. Okay, now we shall utter this sound. It's the word fluted, adjective from 1611. Having or marked by grooves. If it's marked by grooves, then it is fluted. That column is fluted. Because it's got the flutes. That hat is fluted. Anything that's got grooves in it can be fluted. Now we have fluting. Noun from 1611 again. Something was going on with flutes in 1611. Number one, a series of flutes, as in the fluting of a column. The column is fluted all around, and so it has so much fluting on it. Number two, fluted material. What is fluted material? Material that is marked by grooves. It has grooves. Anything that just has a bunch of grooves on it, it's a fluted material, so it's called fluting. Now we have the word flutist. Noun from 1603, and it is one who plays a flute. And you might also say that they are a flautist. That's the one that I think we've heard of mostly. That was way back in the FLA section, I believe. I believe we talked about flautist briefly, which probably just sent us to flutist. But which one do you use? Which one? I definitely have heard flautist more for some reason. I don't know. It doesn't make as much sense. Doesn't flutist make more sense? Like we've ever done anything that made any sense. Now we have the last word, flutter, F-L-U-T-T-E-R, first form verb from before the 12th century. We've got two forms. Number one, to flap the wings rapidly, flutter. The birds flutter, the butterflies flutter, the flies and the bees, they definitely flutter. They go, they're fluttering their wings. My hands are my wings. Number two, A, to move with quick wavering or flapping motions. Moving with quick wavering or flapping motions. Anything that can be flapping and moving is fluttering. Two, B, to vibrate in irregular spasms. What could be vibrating with irregular spasms? Well, the first thing I think of is somebody with the thing that affects the nerves, and I can't think of what it's called, that condition. I think it starts with a P, and Alan Alda has it, and this is one of those words that just gets stuck in my brain for some reason. But anyway, there's some irregular spasms there. You could maybe call that fluttering. Anything else? Vibrate in irregular spasms. Blah. Number three, to move about or behave in an agitated, aimless manner. Yeah, I'm not sure. I could do more of that walking around right now to show you, but I don't want to do that right now. Transitive is to cause to flutter, making something else flutter. How do you do that? You add vibration spasms to something, make something flap their wings. They're going to flap their wings when they want to flap their wings. So you let them flutter themselves. Flutterer is a noun, and fluttery is an adjective. And I know I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again because I was just so proud of my wonderful phrase. Another butterfly flutter. I misspoke. Another butterfly fluttered by. It's just a fun play with words. And now I shall make my flutter sound effect. We have the second form of flutter. Noun from 1641, number one, an act of fluttering. Look at that butterfly with their flutter. Number two, A state of nervous confusion or excitement. Maybe when you're flustered, you're also fluttered and fluttering. Fluttered and flustered. Number two, B, the synonyms are flurry and commotion. There's so much stuff going on. You're all in a flutter. Two, C, abnormal spasmodic fluttering of a body part. And the example is treatment of atrial flutter. There we go. That's a good example of something that might be vibrating irregularly, spasmodically, not the proper way. That's in the heart area. We're talking about the heart stuff. And you don't want the valves in your heart to flutter. They're supposed to maybe flutter in the proper way, but not in the wrong way. You know, you want them to flutter at the right times in the right way, but it doesn't always happen. Sorry. Number 3A, a distortion in reproduced sound similar to but of a higher pitch than wow. And wow, I feel like I've come across this, but oh, that's not where I wanted to go. Oh, wow, there's a whole biographical name section. Oh, I guess, yeah, I got to go to the wow and see, like, what? This is a word that has to do with sound? I need to know about this. Oh, okay. Let me read this quick. Can you let me read this, please? Okay, thank you. Slow rise and fall of pitch. Slow rise and fall of pitch. Like, wow. I'm Owen Wilson. Wow. And the speed variation of the thing. Okay, so like in a old cassette player, maybe if it's not working so great, it's speeding up and slowing down, or maybe the tape is messed up and stretched out, you might get this wow thing. You call it a wow because it goes the pitch goes up and then down or something like that. So it's this is a flutter in audio, a distortion in reproduced sound similar to but of a higher pitch than wow. I feel like it should say than a wow, but I don't know. That's just me. So yeah, that's an audio flutter. 3B, fluctuation in the brightness of a television image. This is probably more so when, you know, back in the days when things were more analog, less digital. And, you know, so again, maybe it was on a tape or something, and the tape would get a little messed up, and the brightness would change. It would be a flutter. Oh, there was a flutter in the image. Number 4, an unwanted oscillation set up by natural forces. And an example of this would be an aileron or a bridge. An unwanted oscillation as of an aileron or a bridge set up by natural forces. And I'm not entirely sure what we're talking about here. An aileron? What is an aileron? A-I-L-E-R-O-N. You would think that, you know, about 6 years ago I read this, and you'd think that I would remember, but I don't remember. It's the hinged control surface located on the trailing edge of an airplane's wings. Okay, so yeah, the back of the wings, they got these hinged things. You can see them when you're on the back of the plane. And so an unwanted oscillation of it set up. So maybe, you know, as the wind is going by and that aileron moves because of the wind, it's a flutter, but it's unwanted. You did not want it to happen. The natural forces maybe are the wind going over it. I guess maybe. Bridge. I don't know what the bridge is. There a bridge? Is that we literally talking about bridges and the bridge moves? Because of the wind, that's never a good thing. There was that famous bridge years and years ago that was twisting because of the wind, and I think it eventually broke. It was all like the resonant frequency. It was like just the right speed of wind to make this bridge twist. Unsafe. We learned a lot after that one. Number 5, this is chiefly British, and it is a small speculative venture or gamble. We're gonna go on a little adventure here. Let's go on this adventure, or a gamble. We think that there are some fairies over there. We're gonna go on this little flutter. Is that the right way to use this? I don't know. That's it. That is it. We did all the stuff. We read all the words. And now we must pick a word of the episode. Today we had flush, 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 flushable, fluster, fluster, flute, flute, fluted, fluting, flutist, flutter and flutter. Ooh, what am I going to pick? Maybe I will pick flutter as the word of the episode, and I can make a little song like a, I'm fluttering, I'm fluttering, fluttering, my tongue is fluttering, ring, ring. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Whoever said anything other than that about this show? Nobody said it. it is now time for me to tell you about a movie that I watched, because that is what happens here when I regularly watch movies, which we've been watching more of recently. Last night, we saw The Assessment, and this is a sort of sci-fi, horror, thriller, suspense-y kind of movie about, you know, future dystopian situation, and people who want kids need to go through an assessment, and there's only a very tiny percentage of people who are allowed to even get this assessment in the first place, and it is a week-long thing where somebody comes, the assessor comes, to assess your situation to see if you would be good parents, and things get interesting. Yeah, I liked it. It's worth a watch. Some weird stuff. You know, they explain the world, you know, in this sort of like main one exposition scene. You learn things here and there, and yeah, it's a very, not a world that I would want to live in, I don't think. No, you know, not that this world is always the best, but, you know, I think this one that they show in this story, in this movie, is maybe a little bit worse. Although I will say, they lived in a beautiful area by the sea and the rocks and the sand. It was very nice. That's it. The Assessment. Go watch that and all of the other movies that I have mentioned. Now it is time for me to end this episode, and I don't know how to do it. Yes, I do. I will just say thank you for watching this show, listening to this show. Go write a review. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information, sometimes fluttering his hands. Bye.